Bible reading today is from the beginning of Acts, just starting at chapter 1, verse 1. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from sight. As they were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot, and Judas son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers.
When I was really little, I loved, always learning new things. I don't know whether other people here can't stop learning. Has anybody here got that questing sort of heart? They scroll through things in the new, in all sorts of papers and magazines and online. Siri is great. You have a vague question, how does something work? Just ask Siri and suddenly you've got some kind of an answer. And that's the kind of mind I've had from the time when I was really little. And there was a collection of books, and as I mentioned this, some of you might have seen them, maybe in like secondhand bookshops somewhere. A little collection of books called the How and Why Wonder Books. Anybody ever collect How and Why Wonder Books? Phil, I knew there would be someone out here. You recognise them too. They were really thin. They were pretty cheap. A lot of black and white print and a few pages of colour, but I loved them. And you collect, like, the set just went on and on. There was the How and Why Wonder Book of Dinosaurs, the How and Why Wonder Book of Reptiles and Snakes and Amphibians, the How and Why Wonder Book of Robots and Electronic Brains. And I couldn't get enough of those books, and I love them. They're probably in some landfill somewhere now, but I love them. And I was thinking about the Robots and Electronic Brains randomly the other day, thinking if I had written a section in that How and Why Wonder Book, Robots and Electronic Brains, about something as simple as this that we all take for granted, no one, I don't think, would have believed that that was possible. They would have taken everything else in the How and Why Wonder Book and said, yes, we can see that future, flying cars, computers doing, you know, lightning speed calculations, but something like this, and let's remind ourselves, what is in this? A massive music collection? Every encyclopedia you could imagine you have access to? Foreign languages? Through Google Translate or other things. In this, I've got an app that if I hold it up to the sky overnight, it shows me the constellations of the stars in real time, exactly where I am. I've got a GPS. I can navigate myself around the world, not just here in Doncaster, but anywhere I go, flip it open, off I go. I may get lost sometimes. It has a compass orientation to it. Now, I can go on, can't I? It's massive. Last night I remembered it has a torch. How handy is that? So in this, in my hand, is something that I think the How and Why Wonder Book would have said, that is impossible. We can share a lot of views of the future and let our imaginations go really wild, but you have seriously blown our minds thinking about what is in something like this. I also discovered another great feature of having a phone in your pocket last night. How many people had the opportunity of gazing out from somewhere? Maybe you drove somewhere special. Maybe you just stood on the back veranda in the backyard. How many people saw the Aurora Australis last night? You're not sure there, Ben. You might have, probably in the future you might think, I definitely saw it. It'll be the false memory of everybody's photos. So there were quite a few. Oh, and Phil, if Phil's, you've actually got a printout with you. That is, everyone just turn around to Phil for a moment. Isn't that amazing? So where was that taken, Phil? Back of your house. So look, I got a note. Absolutely. So I got a note from our son on Phillip Island saying, have others seen this? And I thought, look, every time I get one of those things to go outside and look, I'm always mildly disappointed. You never sort of see anything much at all. I thought, Ringwood East, what possibility is there? So I cruise out there, and to the human eye, you kind of get just a... it's a bit of a smudgy, pinky kind of colour. It's not like the full-blown thing you might see in the newspaper or on that print. But you see enough to think, I think something's happening. But, take out my trusty phone and hold up just the camera function. Didn't have to press anything or do anything, but it adjusted. And so through my eye, it looks like vaguely pinky kind of vague smudge. Through the phone, it's like, oh, my goodness. Look at the colour and the intensity of those pinks. So your photo was what I've got in here pretty much, just a different location. And so all around the nation, but also in the Northern Hemisphere, just the intensity of the photos that people have taken. So I was just reflecting on, my human eye is pretty amazing. I do need a magnifying glasses now and again to read simple things, so they don't last forever, I know that. But I can look at the sky, my eye sees something, but this enhances and actually reveals something else that is there. I want you to hold it in your mind because it's really important for some of the other themes for today. We live in a place that we don't always understand what's going on. We can have a full life, but it's only ever lived at like a quarter measure because we don't know the fullness of what's around us. So does anybody know what causes the aurora australis? Sorry? The ionisation in the atmosphere. So sometimes when you read it, it might be a geomagnetic storm, an ionisation. So essentially what there is in the sun, we're not going to do like a whole science lesson because I know Wayne, if you actually sit with Wayne today, you'll get the full picture of all of this, like, great knowledge in the room. So talk to Wayne if I confuse you. But... in terms of the sun, there are flares, there are storms that go on there. That sends out these waves out through the atmosphere, through space. They hit us. That's what lights up the atmosphere, this geomagnetic, the changing of the ions. It looks beautiful and amazing. I imagine in the past people would have made incredible stories up about what are we actually seeing? Is it something from heaven? Is it the gods? Is it something else? And for me last night, I'm standing in the backyard, feeling pretty secure and safe, looking at all of these lights while actually they come from these disturbances on the sun. And then when I get inside, my mind races back to the How and Why Wonder book, and I think about, the sun, how many millions of miles away? 93 million. In kilometres, it's about, I think, 151 thereabouts million kilometres. Someone actually figured that if you could walk to the sun, it would take you almost 4,000 years. I figured, more like 5,000 years if you stop for toilet breaks on the way. It's a long way. And yet, with all of that disturbance on the sun, it takes only a very short time to begin to light up in our atmosphere. So I spent a lot of time last night thinking about, I live on a planet, I think I understand it, but I realise every day I don't. There are things that are mysterious that are all around us, things that are more incredible than we can imagine. No matter how much study you do, you can't fill your mind with enough to understand the bigness of what's around us. And so this morning I set myself the impossible task, I think, to want to honour mothers on Mother's Day and to have a reflection about mums, but also to think about the nature of the ascension of Jesus. I don't know how many people ever think about the ascension of Jesus. Anyone? Any show of hands? It's an interesting deal. If you spend a lot of time within the evangelical church, Baptist Churches of Christ, depending on the Uniting Church, some Uniting Churches as well, there's a lot of time spent mainly at Christmas, about the birth of Jesus, but huge amounts of time spent on the death, crucifixion, paying of prices, our sinfulness being taken away. Depending on the church, only, strangely, a little bit about resurrection, which you think would be the major, but in a lot of churches, actually, resurrection is held back and you get more about the crucifixion and the death rather than the resurrection, what becomes, what happens next. And what I've learnt is that not many in the evangelical tradition think about the ascension of Jesus. It's mentioned, might be read about, talked about, but in the liturgical churches, it's majored on. In the Orthodox churches, it's majored on. And what some of you may not realise, that in the Islamic world, it's also majored on. In Indonesia, on Friday of last week, it was a national holiday, Ascension holiday. Because in the Islamic world, even though there's lots of questions about the differences of what people believe and how they see things, they do have a belief that Jesus ascended, and they are waiting for Jesus' return. And I found myself thinking, wouldn't that be a wonderful conversation to have with the Islamic world rather than sometimes the picky conversations that where the differences are? Where are the similarities? And why is that such a powerful similarity? Why in these two groupings of faith do people have a sense of Jesus ascended, which does not make rational scientific sense, but at the same time speaks powerfully about a world that we hardly understand? What an incredible thing to pause longer to think about what ascension speaks of and what it brings to us. And I think about those disciples standing around as Jesus is ascending and the men in white, the angels saying, you know, why are you looking up? He will return. And there's this wonderful sense of, you know, don't fixate on just what seems to be super spiritual. Get really involved now in anticipating what God will do through the power of the Holy Spirit, who will come to you and will reveal new and truthful things. So the ascension holds a really important place in understanding that Jesus was resurrected because disciples had spent time with him over a long period of time. His ascension says he has gone, but the words of Jesus remind us and the words of the angels remind us the Holy Spirit is actually coming. Now, why I want to labour this is there's something about the ascension that for some reason the last few weeks keeps saying, John, you've got to remember that you do not see the world as it really is. I didn't even see the world as it really was through my naked eye last night. I needed a camera to enhance that. I need the Holy Spirit every day to actually enhance and reveal what is actually going on. What really am I seeing? What really am I understanding? What really is moving in the world around me? When I read the news reports, I can read them. I might be shocked. I might be horrified. I might go on a march in town. There's a lot of things I might do. But am I really seeing in an enhanced Holy Spirit way? What is the truth behind the truth? What is the reality behind the reality? What is really going on that my mind struggles to see, that my history, because, you know, I'm Anglo and this is and English is the only language I half speak. You know, how can I understand the fullness of the world? I actually need the Holy Spirit in everything that I do. And why do I say that? Because Jesus says, I am sending the one to live within who will reveal more and more things as you go. So I think on this Ascension Sunday, I'm really pleading with the Lord to send us more that we will see. And to send us more in such a way that then we really honour the people that are around us. Already today, I've appreciated some playful conversations with people that I'm now taking into the week thinking, and I will be praying about. I'm praying about this, I'm praying about that, I'm praying about this person's work, I'm praying about that body pain, I'm praying. You know, this is the way that the Lord works. He reveals something with the eyes of your spirit, to the eyes of your spirit, and once you see it, you can carry it in your heart, you can carry it in your prayer, you can sit with others, and suddenly the world becomes much, much bigger. I hope that makes sense. I'm not even sure it makes sense in my mind. I think ascension, the celebration of ascension says, Always remember the world is other than you see it. The kingdom of God is other than you imagine it. And there is more going on than you can possibly imagine in terms of what the Lord is doing. And so to think about what I take from Mother's Day, and I really want to thank Beverly and Phil for the prayers. You know, I think about the areas that you guys have covered today. It's so important to think about the mums who have been and the complexity of what it's been for mums. When I know mums who couldn't raise the kids that they've brought into the world and thought the best thing I can do is actually to have somebody else who can do that raising for me. And then mothers who live in very difficult places. What would it be like to be a young mum in Gaza this morning? What it would be like to deliver amongst the rubble when there's not Box Hill Hospital or Epworth down the road, when you've only got whatever wisdom there is with the people who are scrabbling around beside you and there's no evacuation plan. I think about those mothers as well. And I think about my mum. My mum died when she was 58. She would have loved great-grandchildren. It would have been her sparkling life to have done all that, but that's not there. And yet I think about the nature of what my mum brought for me. And I want to make something really clear, and I might have mentioned it, I think, in the past, but it's a mystery that we've all shared, and I think it teaches us so much about life on earth and life as the kingdom of God also comes to us. And I think it's a gift, and I also think it's why the focus on Mary and the birth of Jesus is such an important understanding that the Lord gives us about the nature of how you begin in this life to maybe anticipate and see things in the spiritual fullness of the world and the universe that are often hard to understand. So all of us spent time in a womb for a period of time. Most of us somewhere around 9 months. I'm not sure how many people remember that experience. I know that some people sometimes through hypnosis or deep therapy might have different things that come to them from that time. I've met people who've been birthed very difficultly, who have ongoing life issues sometimes. They don't like small spaces, claustrophobia, not always, but sometimes is thought to come from quite the difficulty of being squashed in and closed and you're not sure how you're going and what's happening. Can I breathe? Can't I breathe? So there's a lot that happens in that womb space and birth that I think is very important, not just for physical life. I think it brings us something else. So when you're in that room, what is going on? Show of hands would be wonderful. What's going on in the womb? What's happening for you while you're there? You're growing cell by cell, organ by organ. Everything is, this wonderful architecture is moving out. What else is happening? You are hearing things. Can't understand what they are. There's some muffled thing from outside, maybe the TV and radio. You might put them together. If you had that consciousness, you could. But overarching everything, the powerful beating of that heart. And I come back to this really often. What is my experience like now because of the experiences I had in that womb? Why do I like particular music? What is there about particular rhythms that I find really soothing? I don't want to make a big deal out of it, but maybe there's something about the simplicity of growing in a cocooned world. You're not even breathing. Everything you need comes to you through amniotic fluid. Everything comes to you as your system is woven in with the system of your mum. It is incredibly powerful. And it's sensitive. And as some here today will know, it's not always easy. It can get very complex and things can go wrong in all of that. And that's where heartbreak begins. But in the normal experience, there's warmth. You're being fed, nourished. You're growing. You're thriving. And on a day when you least expect, everything changes. And here you are in this world. I often think, what would it be like if someone could have whispered in to those little ears in that womb and told you some wonderful things. Like imagine if you had a twin and your twin somehow was born and you were still stuck there for 5 years. And you think, oh my goodness, where's my best friend gone? And your best friend whispers in one day and says, look, it's okay, come out, because there are playgrounds. And you say, I don't even know what a playground is. What's a playground? Can you describe it to me? Oh, a playground. Well, there's bits of metal and you can hold on the end and go along a zip line and you can, you know, move down some plastic and hit the ground. All these things are happening. It's amazing. But you, in the womb, you're thinking, it's too hard. I've got nothing. I can't imagine metal. I can't imagine plastic. I can't imagine a slide. I've got nothing. So all I'm saying is, here is a life experience. It's a real life experience. Nurture and growth and sound, maybe the feelings of love and being held and things that probably most of our life we're still looking to kind of have that feeling of I'm secure and I'm safe and I'm held. But there's a whole other world that's outside and suddenly you find yourself there. And I think about this a lot because, you know, because of the mystery of life, because I don't see everything clearly, I think about the kingdom of God, as Jesus says, the kingdom of God is near. It is right here. It is right here. Why don't I see it? Why can't I feel it all the time? Because I'm so distracted. Because I live in a crazy world. Because I can't find the language all the time. But Jesus says it is so near. And then there are those thin spaces when you have that feeling that it actually is okay. I can sense that God is close. I do feel that comfort. I know that people were praying for me. I think what happens is this life that we now share here is also like a womb. It's a little cocooned, it's full of nourishment, it's warm in here today, there's sound and there's noise, but there's a huge mystery that's just beyond. Just as real as in here. Just as vibrant as in here. Just as strong as in here. But it's eternal and it's unspeakably wonderful. It is incredibly powerful in love and in mercy and in grace, and it rests right there. And it beats and it calls, and the heart of God is over all of us. That's why I love Ascension Sunday. It's why I love Mother's Day. It's more than just the honouring of the mum. It actually takes us to a whole other way of understanding what kind of life can we live when we see the kingdom more than earth. When we love others more than we love ourselves. When we take the time to honour people who are imperfect, as mothers so often are, but take the time to honour and let the honour reshape the world. Let's pray. Lord God, I really thank you that you are with us. You are knocking every day on the doors of our lives, waiting for us to just open up and to find ourselves reborn over and over and over again, to understand more of your love and your grace and your kindness. We do need you. Our world needs you. We need to see your beauty and your wonder on the horizon of all of our lives. We plead this in Jesus' name.